Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Jobs. Yes, that's right, it's me. Chief Executive of Apple Inc., One Infinite Loop, Cupertino, California, 95014. I know the address. That's how you know it's me. Steve Jobs. Well, I've got some big news this year, and I want the whole world to hear it. I quit. Yes, that's right. I'm resigning effective immediately. And what's more, I'm shutting down all of Apple. I know this comes as a surprise to some of you, but if you think about it, you'll see I really didn't have a choice. I mean, Vista's been performing so well. They've sold tens of dozens of copies. I was just going to get lost and all of that. Wow. And then I got my iPod killer. Brown. I'm sure you'd agree that it's time for Apple to wave the white flag and concede defeat to the boys up in Redmond, Washington. And don't shed tears over the iPhone and all that other junk we talked about. Just carry those big brains of yours up out of the Mascarpone Center and go on home. No longer needed. Hey, oh, hi, Mac. What's going on? How are you?
Again? I thought we talked about this last year. You think these people are really going to believe that you're Steve Jobs?
Mm. You're right. Hello, I'm Phil Schiller.
WWDC07. I'm really pleased to report that we have over 5,000 attendees today. This is the biggest WWDC ever in the history of Apple. And another really cool thing is that we have over 950,000 Apple Developer Connection members. That's up 200,000 from just a year ago. So our developer community is very healthy, growing very rapidly. So we couldn't be happier. Now, this week, we got some great stuff for you. We've got 159 sessions. We've got 94 hands-on labs. And we've got 1,200 Apple engineers on site. That's one Apple engineer for every four attendees. So you ought to be able to grab an Apple engineer and get your questions answered during the week. And I would encourage you to do so. So WWDC 07. Before we get into stuff today, I just want to go back a year. What were we talking about a year ago? Well, we were talking about Intel. Because we were very far along in a very ambitious project to transition all of our computers over to Intel processors. And we did it successfully. This was one of the most challenging, ambitious transitions ever in our industry. And everybody did an awesome job. Our teams inside Apple did an incredible job engineering the new Intel hardware and creating Mac OS X Tiger for Intel. You guys did an incredible job making universal versions of your apps, and most of them anyway. And that was terrific, and there's now zillions of universal apps out there. But there's one group that I think worked extremely hard that I would like to recognize today, and that is Intel themselves. From the very day that we signed up to put Intel processors in Macs, these guys have done extraordinary work with us. We started it off by Intel CEO Paul Otellini handing me our first wafer full of Intel processors. We have worked so hard with them to do special things, to do things that are a little outside the norm, so we could make the best Macs ever using using Intel processors, and they have come through every single time for us. And so I wanted to kick off today, now that our transition's behind us, by inviting Intel CEO Paul Otellini up here, if I could. We're not big on awards at Apple, and so we don't have anything real standard. And so I asked Johnny Ive if the design team would make something, and they made this really nice award for you guys. And it says, our sincere thanks for your extraordinary partnership in our transition to Intel processors. I don't know if you can get a shot of this, but it's made out of polished stainless steel. It's really beautiful. And I would like to give this to you and the Intel team.
Well, thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you.
I didn't know what you were doing. I just wanted to say thanks to you and your team. Working with Apple has been one of the best things that's ever happened in my career, one of the best things that's ever happened for Intel. And we couldn't be more pleased. And you know what? I think we're not done. I think we have the best still to come.
We're working on some great stuff for some future products, so can't wait.
Got it. Thanks very much.
Thank you to everybody at Intel for making this transition possible. It's been really great. We're very proud of the machines we're delivering these days. Next up, got some great news about games. First, Electronic Arts, the number one publisher of games in the world, is coming back to the Mac in a really big way. And it's my pleasure to invite up Bing Gordon, one of the co-founders and the chief creative officer of Electronic Arts.
Thank you, Steve. I have two teenage daughters that live on MacBook. I have friends in the music business, in the movie business, in the photography business, in the graphic design business. They live on OS X. Our CTO at Electronic Arts lives on Mac, and we're seeing EA technologists move to Mac in droves. And what do they all want? What do they keep asking for in addition to a cinema display? They want to go into an Apple store and they want to see all the latest EA games simultaneous released with all the other platforms. And so I'm here today to announce we are going to rectify the situation. Starting in July, we're going to bring four of our biggest titles to run under OS X. And they are Command & Conquer 3. The continuation of the 15-year battle against Nod and Kane, Battlefield 2142. The game of the year goes into a science fiction future where you can play against your friends and meet new people. Need for Speed Carbon. This is a car game with a mountain and valley racing with carbon bodies that don't handle damage very well. That's a hint. And finally in July, Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix. Harry Potter is Electronic Arts' best wizard, and as you know, he needs a wand, unlike Steve Jobs, who just uses his imagination. So now we're going to, Dave McComb, who is one of EA's leading Mac aficionados, is going to show us just a snippet of Harry and Hogwarts. This year, one of the features is a living Hogwarts, where you see the high-res art, the stairs move like Hogwarts. You can explore and meet Harry's friends. In addition, so the room you're all in, compared to the room that the other people didn't make it into, this is a good hall. Harry's got a great hall. Nothing better than living on a Mac is living in Hogwarts. a little later, Steve is going to actually wave his hand and candles are going to float in this room. So make sure, that's one of the features of Leopard, so make sure you... in sports games. So starting in August, when the new sports year begins, we are going to begin releasing simultaneous. Football with an all-new AI system with players as weapons is going to be released at Tiger Woods Golf, where you can create YouTube-like videos of your best scores and send them to friends and challenge them to match your golf capabilities. So look forward to seeing you in Apple stores with EA Games. And Steve, keep up the wizardry. Thank you very much.
Great news from Electronic Arts. We've also got some really intriguing news. John Carmack, the founder and owner of id, chief technical officer, is going to show us something really sweet today, which is one of the things he's been working on for a while. He's going to premiere it today. So, John, can we give you a couple of seconds? Years at id, we've been working pretty much in secrecy on next generation technology and a next generation game for it. And this is actually going to be the first time we've shown anything that we've been doing publicly. And we managed to put this together in really a pretty quick time, which speaks pretty highly to the Mac platform as a development deployment station. So this, here we are with our first public showing of some of the things that we're working on here. Now, I've always thought of what I do with game technology as basically providing a canvas for the artists and designers to work on. And with this new generation of technology, it's really almost literally true. What we've got here is the entire world covered in unique textures, where this is 20-some-odd gigabytes of texture covering this track area here. And the artists have the ability to go in and change anything they want. They can start with a model built however they want, whatever tools they want to use. But then they can go in and they can go in through some pretty neat tools and look at the world and say, I want to change the color of this mountaintop, or I want to carve my initials onto this rock here. And this level of flexibility is really something that we've never had before, where they have unlimited ability to change as much as they want on the surfaces with no impact on the performance or the stability of the game. So we can build the game, make sure it's fun, and then we can put artists on it to go ahead and make it look as good as we have time and resources to do. So we can even have six artists working on one of these worlds at the same time. They can go in and build whatever they need to. And we've got, we're pretty excited about what we're going to be doing with this technology. And in fact, we're going to be showing on the Mac platform, the PC, the PS3, and the 360, the same data running. We're going to be demoing this at E3, as well as at our QuakeCon in August. And I expect to actually have another Mac-related announcement to make at that time, which we can't quite go into right now. But this is all running live, and we literally got this together in the last 10 days, so I'm quite happy with what we were able to do, and it's going to wind up being a lot better. Give me four more days, and it's going to be twice as smooth. But I think it's a pretty good show. So, two cool announcements out of Electronic Arts and id. Now, let's move on to our big cats. As you know, our current release is macOS 10 Tiger. This has been the most successful release in Apple's history. It's been phenomenal. And I'm very pleased to report that we have 22 million active macOS 10 users. macOS 10 users, 22 million. And they are comprised of two-thirds of them running Tiger. Now, this is unprecedented in our industry for two-thirds of an installed base to be running the latest and greatest release of an operating system. We have another 23% running Panther, the latest release minus one. and only 10% running older release than that. So 90% of the customers, or 20 million out of 22 million, are running the current or the current minus one release. Again, unprecedented in our industry. And it really makes it a lot easier to develop software for when you know that. So today, we're going to move beyond Tiger and give you a final look at Leopard before it ships in October. We are really excited about Leopard. We think with Tiger, we're already ahead of the competition, and we think Leopard is just going to set an even higher bar. Our last major release was Tiger on Intel in January 2006. We're going to ship Leopard in October. That's 21 months after Tiger on Intel. Leopard is the sixth major release of OS X. It's got 300 new features. And this morning, I get to show you 10 of them. So let's get started. Leopard. Feature number one is one we haven't shown before, and that is Leopard has a new desktop. It looks something like this. This is the new Leopard desktop, and that's Tiger, that's Leopard. Now, we're not having the usual blue pattern, because what we found out is that nobody uses it. Everybody puts their own digital photos on things now. And so we have come up with a desktop that's really more suited to your digital photos. We picked this one, we thought it was nice, but you'll pick your own and throw it up there. And so we've got a menu bar that adapts itself to whatever digital photo you put behind it. We've got a new dock that's more three-dimensional in nature that just swoops out over whatever picture you put there. And so the new desktop has a new menu bar, a new dock, and something new to help us clean up our desktops. All of us have really messy desktops, and we like to clean up our desktops, and we're going to give you some tools to help, something called Stacks, which we think will be really nice. We've been told that we've got all these different looks throughout the years, the white looks, the metal looks. We're going to got a consistent window look in Leopard. And it's now even easier to see which is the active window. We've made it more prominent. So these are some of the features of the Leopard desktop. Now let me talk to you about the Stacks for a little bit. First of all, let me raise this up in case some of you in the back haven't seen it. That's what the dock is like. And let me focus in on Stacks. Stacks are simply folders in the dock that allow you rapid access to their contents. Right? And so these are two stacks right here, and you just go click on them, and boom, they show you their contents, and you can get access. You can view them as a fan here, or you can also view them as a grid, whichever you like. So this is an instant way to get at the contents of folders. You can put in whatever folders you want. Let me zoom in on that a little bit more, and again, you see what it's like. Just click it, and it pops up. You can click any document to run it. Very simple. And let me zoom in even more, because what we're doing is, in addition to any folders you might put there, we're going to put a folder there called Downloads, because one of the biggest reasons our desktops are cluttered is because we download the internet through our browsers and through email, and it ends up on our desktop. We're redirecting those things to a simple Downloads folder, and we're putting that Downloads folder as a stack in the dock. And so when you download something, it looks like this until it downloads, and it puts it right on the front of the stack so you can get it very easily and do whatever you want to do with it. So this is the new desktop for Leopard. You can put it on the side as well as the bottom. It works great. And what I'd love to do is show it to you. So here we are. You can see the menu up here, right? And you can see the dock. I'm going to grab Safari, and just to show you, again, the dock, you can see the reflections of the icons. You can also see the reflections. And I'm going to go and show you what stacks are like. Now, I've got a few stacks over here. I've got one for some demos I'm going to run later on. I've got them for movies and vacation. I threw some applications in there and downloads. So let me just go into movies. And again, here's what stacks look like. And if I want to play a movie, I can just go play a movie. That's it.
I'll call when it's time to start.
So let me go play another one here. Let's see. I'm going to do iPhone commercial.
So, stay in watching Pirates of the Caribbean. Did somebody say calamari?
I assume you've seen that. And let me go into my vacation stack now. This is a bunch of things that I'm looking at. Got a bunch of documents together because we're going to go on a vacation and want to plan it out. And, you know, let me look at a few things. I just go in here and just click on something. This is a PDF. It just opens it up. And, you know, here I am. Take a look at the top 20 resorts. Let me go back in there. And, you know, here's a PDF of a spa that I might want to go see. All right, let's go through here and examine that spa. So it's that easy to keep stuff organized. Now, I put my applications folder in here just to kind of show you. You can even use this as an app launcher if you want. I can just zoom in there and launch any app very easily, which is kind of fun. Matter of fact, let me show you this in slow-mo here. This is, you know, again. These features use core animation, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, to make it very, very easy. So let me show you the download stack. I'm just going to open Safari here, and I'm going to go to a site, Disneyland Paris, because I might want to take my family there on a vacation. And here's a PDF that I'm looking at on my browser for Disneyland Paris, the most fun place in the world, I'm sure. And so I want to download this. That's great. Well, we've added an affordance now in Safari, which is just an easy way to download. And you push this thing right here, and it's just going to download it. Downloads it into my download stack, and there it is. And so now when I go to my download stack, boom, there is my PDF of Disneyland Paris. All right, there it is right there. Is how it works, and this gives you a feeling for the new desktop in Leopard. New menu bar, new dock, stacks, consistent window look, and very easy to tell the active window. So, first thing, new desktop. Second of 10 features we're going to examine today, new. New Finder in Leopard. It's got a new sidebar. It's really cleaned up, much nicer, much more powerful. With Spotlight, you can search your Mac. Now you can search other Macs and servers with Spotlight right in the Finder. You've always been able to share files, but it's never been easy from a user interface point of view. It's now really easy to browse and share files with other computers on a local net, such as all the computers at your house, all the computers at your office. And if you are a subscriber to .Mac, we have this really cool feature called Back to My Mac that allows you to share, browse your other computers and share files with them even when they're not on the same local net. You can do it over the internet at vast distances. And we'll show you how that works in just a minute. It's a very cool new feature. And the new Finder in Leopard, we've added something called Coverflow. Hundreds of millions of people already know how to use, and it turns out it's amazingly cool. So, let me just show you a few things in the slides here. This is the new Finder, and as you know, we've had some buttons up at the top to pick our view. We've added a fourth button for cover flow, and so we can be looking at our icons, an icon view here. You can see we've jazzed up some of the PDF ones and things like that. You can look at things in view, you can look at things in our famous column view, and now you can look at the same things in cover flow. All your documents, it turns out to be incredibly useful. So that is the new view cover flow. Now let me focus on the sidebar over here. New sidebar for Leopard. It's much cleaner. You can close things when you're not interested in them. And we've got devices, some shared computers, places, and a way to search for things. And let me focus on the search for just a second. We are populating this with some smart searches, but you can add your own. So you can instantly just click on today and see all the documents you touched today, or yesterday, or this past week, or all your images, wherever they are, or all your documents, wherever they are. It's really easy to find stuff. And again, you can add your own smart folders right there. Now let me go ahead and open shared, and what we'll see is that we've got some computers around our house, the home iMac, the kids' iMac, a MacBook, and I can, again, browse and share files with these just by clicking on that and going into them as if they were right on my own computer. And if I'm a .Mac subscriber, I click on that tower in the office and go browse it as well. Now, how does that work? How does this back to my Mac thing actually work? It's really simple, actually, in concept. We've got the internet. We've got .Mac. We've got a computer, let's say an iMac at my house. And let's say I'm traveling and I've got a MacBook Pro on the road. And I've left a file on my home iMac that I need on the road. What am I going to do? Well, whenever my home iMac gets a new IP address, it always tells .Mac. So .Mac always knows the IP addresses of all my computers. And my mobile computer out on the road, whenever I get to my hotel room, plug it in, it goes and tells its IP address to .Mac, and .Mac gives it the IP addresses of all my other computers, and so my notebook now knows the IP address of my desktop computer. They communicate, it's encrypted, it all works great. First, show you cover flow. So here's a new binder. As you can see, we've redesigned the folders, made them a little more straightforward. Nicer looking, even give you a hint at what's inside them. And I'm going to go click on documents in the sidebar here, and here's all my documents. Again, you can see what they look like. And this is icon view, and there's list view, and there's column view, and here's cover flow. And I can just scroll through my documents and see all my documents and find exactly what I'm looking for right here. It's really simple and it's really, really helpful. So the other thing I can do is I can actually cycle through pages. This is a PDF. I can just cycle through its pages right here. And I can actually cycle through the slides in a keynote presentation. I've got an ad somewhere here. Yeah, there's the same ad we were looking at earlier. I can play it twice if I want to. And I can even, I can go to any folder and see it this way. I can go to applications, and again, here's my applications. If I want to see it this way, it's pretty cool. Here's my utilities. Right, I just double click in here, and even our utilities are beautiful. So this is an amazing way to find things, and it turns out to be super useful. So let me go now to the sidebar, and I'm going to, here's devices and places and search for, I can look at all the things that, I touched today, all the things I touched yesterday. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up shared here. And what it's showing me now are all the computers, let's say, in my house. So the family Mac, Tracy's MacBook, and here's even a Windows machine up in the attic. And I can even put on Windows machines and trade files with them this way. I'm going to go on the family Mac right here. And I'm connected as a guest. I could log in if I wanted to get some other files, which are not available to any guest. And I just go in here. And let's say we're looking at buying a new car. And on the family Mac, we've got all these brochures and other things like that. And I can even go into CoverFlow here. And I'm using CoverFlow over the network from this family iMac, looking at documents and PDFs and other kinds of documents on this other Mac right from the sidebar. Isn't that cool? Over the network. Now what I'm going to do is I want to show you the back to my Mac stuff. And so I'm going to go up in preferences here, and I'm going to choose .Mac right here. And I'm going to, we have a new tab here called Back to My Mac, and all I have to do is push Start. And that's going to say that it wants this Mac to communicate with .Mac and give it its IP addresses and pull the IP addresses of all my other Macs back. So I'm going to have to talk with them. Look what popped up. Mac Pro at work. And it's doing all its IP stuff, and we'll connect me with that computer in just a second. Steve, and I'm going to go in here to presentations, and let's take a look at those. And this is the stuff on my work computer right now, and I forgot to bring home a presentation. I could just go in and make sure this is the right one. Simple one, right? And I could just drag it over to my desktop. Boom. And open it up, and there you have it. We've got a child that's nearing college age, and we're looking at colleges to try to get into school. We've got, again, a bunch of documents there, and I'm going to go search for that on my computer. College, and I can't find it anywhere. It must not be on my Mac. It's probably on one of the shared Macs, so I push share. It's just done a search on all the other shared Macs, and it's found it on the family Mac under school planning, and here are all those documents having to do with college that are on the other Mac, and I could just open up one just by double-clicking on it and take a look in this case at UC Berkeley. And this is, again, all over the net, spotlight searching other computers, finding exactly what I want, even if it's not on my own computer. So that gives you a feel for the new finder in Leopard.